Blog Talk Radio. Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Lord's sea.
Let the peace shake from the place. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. He said we like the birds and the bees. You know, we like to die and be living on our knees. That was an attitude, you know, that we had. It was an attitude that ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Ooh, we. And no more yes, boss. It was a whole attitudinal thing that we had that got washed away. That's washed away out of nowhere. They took a generation after us. And they took a generation after us, and they just wiped that generation out. Then they wiped their children out. And then they gave some people in my age group some money, and they gave them some businesses. And they said, you're separated because you are different from these other folks. So this is what you do. And don't you look at building communities. Don't look at looking at people like S.B. Fuller as examples, or C.J. Walker, or people, Mega Ever, people down south, or John Johnson, or all these people that have done things for us as a people. Do not use them as models or Rosewood. Look at Tulsa. Don't look at those things. Just don't do that. If you do that, then that's something wrong with you. What you got to do now is look at, this is you in now, and this is what you got to do to be in, to stay in. And our people kind of bought into it. And then they began to blame the victim for being victimized. And as long as you blame the victim for being victimized, the victim will not fight back except against itself. I told you last week I was going to have Attorney Dennis Sweet on with me this morning. I'm going to get him on all the way from Mississippi, one of the greatest attorneys you can name, who really have done so much for black people. His family come out of the Mega Everest environment, his mother and all of them. And, you know, Dennis and I was talking, and he was talking about they just celebrated the anniversary of Mega Everest. And it was a great anniversary, but the whole discussion of what happened around Mega wasn't talked about. The whole fact of the trauma that went on with that whole community being traumatized around his death and before his death, of people being lynched, and the traumatization that went on around the whole Mega Everest thing that continued. It's the same way the traumatizing of Dr. King or Malcolm X or any of the people that we had, all that trauma that goes on around our community, they individualize it and don't take the community as a whole. That's part of it. So we were talking, and we was talking about how that community was traumatized, and we began to talk about the land. And we're going to be talking about the land today because there's always a land question. Dennis and I was talking. Attorney Sweet was my attorney when I was out with my aunt. Attorney Sweet was one of the attorneys, and I'll give you more on him when I come back. He was one of the ones that started to fight for getting the money for the black farmers. And then he brought Rose Sanders and Ogletree into the fight to work on fighting for the black farmers. And we might get an update on that. He don't particularly like what went down, I guess, but he know he fought hard. He have a lot of them folks, a lot of folks are joining on that black farmers fight. Anything we have, see, the problem is when we fight for something, everybody get a piece of us. Everybody else have something, we don't get a piece of them. We have a limitation of what we get. Affirmative action, that's for all of us. I'm not saying you didn't endure the lynching and the killing and the not going, you know, all this other stuff, but yet you can get a piece of this. The voting rights, you didn't have no... You know, you didn't have poll taxes or was lynched and killed trying to vote. But still, you can get more senators and more congressmen and more people in office because you are a minority. You're a woman and other folks of color. You know, anything that blacks struggle for, you can get. Housing discrimination, you didn't get that. But we fought for against housing discrimination so that we could get Section 8 and other things. And I'm going to do a whole show on that and where those Section 8 numbers went. Like when CHA fell down, who took the numbers? Gutierrez jumped in there and got a bunch of numbers. Vouchers and numbers assigned to his community. I mean, what happened with that? The control decision. I knew Dorothy Control. She was a great woman, you know. Her decision, with all the parents working, we all worked with her to bring that in. The Marion Stamps and everybody worked hard to bring that in. But other folks was able to get that and to move on with it. So every fight, the land question, other folks. Everything we did, public education was fought so that black children could have a right to an education so everybody can get it now, free colleges everybody can get. It's all. And then we're the last one on the tolling pole, and we're told, you don't need that, do for yourself, you do that, and everybody else just be moving along. When you look at all these radio stations and stuff that people have all over the country, the government gave these folks these airwaves. You know, they didn't just get the airwaves because one day they went up and paid to get airwaves. A lot of these folks, they got airwaves and they got land free, which is a whole thing that we're going to have to do a discussion on this whole thing about how much stuff government gave to jumpstart these people. And we never did get ours. And that's what Dr. Anderson be talking about in terms of what happened with the Freedman Bill, what happened to all of these things, what happened. So you look at us as a people, now you're looking at the land. Dennis and I, we were talking, Attorney Sweet and I was talking about, and I'm going to have his mother on too. She's written a great book about down there in Mississippi and what happened with some economic stuff. I'm going to get her in a few weeks. So I'm going to interview her book. She's sending me a copy, so I'm going to look at it and we're going to talk to her. But we were just talking about this land question. You know, black folks always own some land. We were told, get a piece of dirt. You must get a piece of dirt. That's how we was raised. You always have a piece of dirt. Why did they say get a piece of dirt? So that you can at least plant some greens and beans and have something to eat. Always get a piece of dirt. I don't care if it's one plot, it's yours, but get a piece of dirt. And that's kind of the way we were raised. What have happened is black folks are running up here thinking they middle class and selling off that land in Mississippi. And just dying and not paying the taxes. I remember the children's father who came out of Sand Flat. Them Tillmans and Youngs and Abneys and all them folks, Phillips, out of Sand Flat, Mississippi. And I remember, I think Evan and Jimmy was young, when some of the older people in the family went back down there selling and leasing the land because the folks had found some oil on it and they were going to get rich. They getting their money and stuff, not understanding the long-term stuff, giving up off, you know, mortgage in the future. For oil, for things, if your oil that you can you imagine you giving these? Hey, we found a little stuff. We're just exploring on your land here, and what we need to do is we need to let us buy this land for you. And you think you've beaten this man for this land? Come on, that's his game. So we were talking, and I think he said Argentina somewhere. These all these whites come from another country in Mississippi buying up all the land. I bet it's happening in Alabama too, and they having people that's farming the land and doing other stuff. And then you got these hedge funds. That's coming out of the north, not going down south, getting up all the land. And we decided that was worth a discussion. Because even here in the city, and all over the, when you look at that city in this country, when you look at Detroit, Gary, when you look at, and we're going to stick to these, we're going to talk about that kind of stuff today. We're not all over the board this morning, y'all. But anyway, so we, when you look at Detroit, we won't talk about Detroit, we'll talk about Gary, we'll talk about the land question, we're talking about economics and land and all of that. Third Ward. No, it was about the land. If you look at the land question, right now the railroads can take almost all of that ward. And then you have people getting on the radio talking about, I heard Pat on Matt's show the other day lying her butt off about what happened with the public housing. Well, we didn't get the Crocs, and I heard that little swipe. But the bottom line is you don't have economic development down State Street. When you put all those darn bike lanes, we knew it was something. The control decision was supposed to really put scattered sites. Yeah, you had scattered sites, but Podolyak, Burke, and all them folks still out there now. Burke and all them folks scattered sites on the Harrell. But you also had a one-for-one replacement. It's about the land, y'all. The law said if you tear down a unit, you replace a unit. And the way they got around scattered housing, and she don't even understand or don't care, the way they got around it was this. They got Clinton to get rid of the one-for-one replacement. I remember talking to Carol and all of them about it. I talked to Bobby about it, Carol about it, Danny about it. They got rid of the one-for-one replacement. That if you tore out a unit, you had to replace the unit. This Narrow was in office, I think, then. And they had a meeting, and I went over there and really got kind of upset. But it passed, and then they went and they fooled the residents. When I was talking to the residents over there, they got tricked even when I was in office. Oh, no, we're going to do this and do that. Okay. You see, now you're marching after the fact. They got tricked because the one-for-one replacement housing, Clinton got rid of. So you don't have to replace one-for-one unit. You put what you want to. And he did a whole lot of stuff. And when they got rid of when they got ready for public housing to tear down the public housing, Cenero came in promising these people all this stuff. And I went and shut it down, really. We had meetings. Philip Jackson was over the CHA then. And we had meetings, and we were fighting. Philip would tell you if you call him in and ask him about it. We were fighting in Sato's house and telling those people, that they should not allow them to move off the land, and we was telling public housing that they were wrong, that they needed to deal with a holistic approach to public housing. You can't just take people and just throw them all over the place. Somebody dropping their garbage, used to drop it down and shoot, now you're telling them to walk it out to the alley. But not only that, most of the people that was in public housing, the arrest wasn't coming out of public housing. People coming from everywhere else. So what they did is they allowed the maintenance of the building to go down because we fought for deferred maintenance. All the maintenance they had deferred to allow the building to go down. They pushed families out of public housing, and they began to rent to different folks so they can bring these different dudes up in there to be selling drugs. The people that were standing all outside, and they assigned people. And you had people running around telling them, well, we got to do something for our school, our children. They can't go to school. Walk our children to school. Some of your most prominent people, walk the children to school. We got violence. And the community saying, tear them down, tear them down. That was creating an atmosphere. There's always whipping up an atmosphere when it comes to us. They always whip up something for us and say, oh, no, because then we'll run from stuff like we run from our community now. You know, you run, and a little white lady walked down 43rd Street with pushing her dogs and walking and feeling upbeat. You see all the folks running through our community not worried about getting picked off and shot, and then you scared to come outdoors. Something wrong with that picture. But then they said, in public housing, what did they say? I know I was in the middle of that fight. And if you Google, you'll find out how hard we fought. And we said that people have a right to live, and we need to clean this up. We need to make sure we put standards to these buildings, because those buildings are just as good as the buildings down Lakeshore Drive. And the difference between those buildings and the building Lakeshore Drive was the fact that deferred maintenance is what they were doing. And a little black child had a right to wake up in a secure house just like anybody else. And we fought. And then there were members of our community that fought against me on that. And they told people I wanted to stay on King Drive while they stayed over there in rat-infested houses. Made no sense. I'm saying, wait a minute, you can't give up this land. And we had organized the people and pulled them together. We was fighting Sinestro, that was the man from Hood. And what they did, one of the white guy, rest her soul, I understand she passed on. They had her and went to meet with Hood and CHA and Congressman Davis, and I took Quinn Dixon when we was over the meeting, and I'm fighting them about public housing, how you're not going to take these houses down in our community. And we went on, and Danny said, Doris, that's what he said. No, I think it's kind of over. I said, what? She had went door to door and got all of these LACs, local advisory council. See, a lot of y'all get little stuff and think that y'all into something, and y'all go get something, and y'all think you're into it for the moment for yourself and not understanding the long range. Got them to sign, and they went and got all these parents to sign to say, these mothers say they wanted to move because they promised them vouchers and they promised them decent housing, and my thing was no. So that was left out. We had waged a big fight, and we was backing Hood up. But they went deep into the, you'd be surprised who the people in the community, I'm calling and I'd be calling on the station, that was part of that destabilization of public housing. And I called on the whole black community to help me. They all stayed silent. They just stayed silent. But the shooting doors, they stayed silent. I met with Carol Bronze, I tell you, I met with her. I talked to Dan, I talked to Rob, I talked to everybody, and all your activists. And I said, we finna get, there's no other race of people in the whole world would allow that many of their people to get displaced. But we're so busy always running. So that's what happened with public housing on the south side. And what I found was very interesting was people who grew up in public housing, who would not have gotten to be middle class had it not been public housing, were some of the main ones saying, tear it down. Tear it down. And Pat get her butt on this radio show, Matt's show the other day, lying her butt off. She needed to go somewhere and sit down. I'm really tired of her. Because everything I put in place, she's wiping it out, destroying it, and bringing white folks in, and then get on the radio and take a swipe. You take a swipe at me, I wouldn't knock you back. Don't play with me, Pat. You don't come on, Matt. You're talking about, they didn't get the Crocs. No, you're giving away the ward. And that's the bottom line. If you think, come on the show and let's talk about it. You can sit with me. Let's talk about what you're doing over there. I don't have no problem with meeting with you. But don't get on the radio line when you know all the way over on from Root to 55th, from west all the way over to the Dan Ryan, the railroad company is going to take all that land now and move black folks out. And then you got some other areas. So it's a whole plan. It's all about the land. And that's why I'm bringing Attorney Sweet on today to show you all the connection of that land. We put a hold on all of the land in the Third Ward. And we said, you cannot come in this ward and bill unless black get 70% and others get 30. And that was it. And there was nothing they could do about it. And the 30% they was billing, they had to hire 70% black folks to do it. And what did they do? And this is not no bitterness. I'm trying to educate y'all, because on this station the other day, the current oilman got on and took a swipe at me and lied. But what happened was, and when we said it's on hold, they said, oh, she got all the land. She tried to give all the land. And black folks are building houses. We built about all those houses. We took a block on St. Lawrence and turned it into something worth doing. And we was building, and we made CHA give up contracts from 39th on back. We was building some black conference in a hotel on 51st Street. It was in motion. We built the South Suite down that y'all looking at, Pearl's Place and all the other places. We built black stuff, and we made money available for black people. You have to make money available to black people. Black folks get on the phone and tell me, well, we need to put our money together and do this. Yes, we do. But there's also your dollars called tax dollars. And your elected officials are supposed to come together and make those funds available. These people are not billing off their own money. The Koreans come in here and own the nail shops, and they get tax-free money for a little while. When the Vietnam War was over, the Vietnamese went to Florida. Now they coming here. The Indians come over because America got a treaty, got something going on with them. They're over there making clothes, and they come over there and open up this. All of your gas stations, you need gas stations? They shut down the gas stations. I remember when Jimmy died on Wabash and 55th Street, how they came to Adams and tried to really take that station and would not renew the lease with the son. And then the brother, the man over there on Lake Park, they went after him, and the gas station association had a group. They split them up. So if we're going to talk about what blacks don't do, we're going to talk about the attack that blacks are under constantly as we move. And anytime anybody move on blacks' behalf, the powers to be come down on that black person, and they fool the black folks, and the black folks are mimicking them. 70-30 in a land award that say, and there was a whole redevelopment area. I'm going to pull that redevelopment and see whether the current alderman and the mayor have changed that redevelopment. Because from a certain area to a certain area, it was redevelopment that had to be built for black folks and black culture. That's how we was able to build this hotel. We was almost putting this hotel from 51st to 50th, from King Drive to Calumet. Was a conference center hotel owned by black folks, had folks in place, pulling the money together. The first thing they did was stop it. Wells Princeton and Shields had new houses coming, stopped it. Now the railroad's coming over there. So don't, you know, y'all get on and be hollering about what we need to do, how we do. And if you look at the school closing in certain areas, it's parallel with what they're doing. The railroad's coming this way, the other's coming that way. It's all about the land. But when you don't understand the land's question, you talk petty stuff. So what happens with our elected officials, not all, you got something to be trying to fight crying in the wilderness. They don't understand government, so they just want to cut ribbons and do the bidding of the white man. Because they don't want to take, they're too lazy to take time to know government. They're too lazy. So it's easy for them to go and put somebody black down, keep a black person from getting the permit, keep a black person from getting a zoning, keep a black person from getting the resources, and to stand there with these other folks and do that kind of stuff. So it's really very serious. We're in serious time. When I look at Chatham is on take, they letting Chatham go down so they can take it. When I look at the lakefront over there, oh, my God, it's just shooting going on. Run, y'all, run. And they taking it. The south coming south, they taking it. So make no mistake about it. We had every piece of land on hold, which meant that you could not come and do nothing without me signing off on it, giving you that land. And that was to ensure that blacks had it. And once I did that, Trotman did it, 20th Ward, and then Coleman did it. So we had land mass. We had 20, we had 16, and we had 3. That was a hell of a land mass. And then we got some of our brothers. We got Matlin to put it on the west side. Who did they come after? All the feds got Trotman. Then they went after Coleman, and then they played these Negroes to come after me, Pat included, at University of Chicago. Not $8,000 a year that they paid her until they said, don't play with me, Pat, because you can get on Matt and swipe if you want to, but you really don't want to play that game with me because I'll wipe your butt out. Now, I've been kind of leaving you alone, but you better know who you're playing with because I am the last person on the planet Earth to be played with, especially when it comes to black people. And just know that right now she's going all that land to the railroad. Railroads had some, where y'all at, Mr. Slavery people, when we were down there? And we have an ordinance that anybody that does business with the city of Chicago have to sign up their ties to slavery. Are you checking that? Tell me, Miss the Alderman, Black Alderman, are you checking to see what kind of slavery ties this railroad company got since you're giving up all this darn land? That's an ordinance. I bet the Jews wouldn't take it, would you, Ron Emanuel? You had something to do with the Holocaust, you couldn't take it. But, nope, you rather get on rather than telling the truth and swipe. We had a whole plan for State Street, whole plan for the Third Ward. That was including other folks, but black folks were getting the majority. And right now we're getting wiped out with the land. All over. It's all over. It's about the land. God don't make no more land. God ain't going to make no more land unless he has a tsunami and dry some up. Detroit is all about the land. Gary is all about the land. Pensacola is all about the land. If you're in a little town like Pensacola, Florida, you go up, they running black folk all the way to the sticks, and they coming. They done got, well, my churches be down there. They took all that land down there, and they all by the beach, and then they moving on. They marching on. Montgomery is all about the land. They're coming all over the place. And then you got all these folks coming in, buying up from over the country. All other foreigners coming in. And where you going to be somewhere? And then you blame yourself when you got a system that's systematically wiping you out. Now, yes, we should do this and we should do that. But we have a right. We have a right to the resources, our taxes. This girl put $3,000 of a business tax on 47th Street to keep it clean. Don't look clean to me when you're already paying taxes to do, when you're already doing taxes to do to pay the city to clean up. It doesn't make any sense. You have a right to your taxes. If you look at your tax bill, you 47th Street, Tiff, you see that and took it off. Why? Because the money gone. She done gave it to Ron Emanuel. Third Ward had the richest TIF district in the city because I put them in place. But just before they matured, they made sure they came and took us out and played them games. The universe put her in. And now they're taking all that money that's supposed to be used to help build blighted communities. That's the whole thing. It wasn't to put in place to reserve your tax dollars to give to somebody else. My business tax got $10,000. My business, my billing over there, $10,000 in my office. For school? And you closing the schools around me? And then they got us talking all this. I don't want to hear all that garbage y'all want to talk about. Flush the toilet. It is garbage. Flush it in the toilet because we're on attack right now. And I really am going to enjoy having Dennis on the phone with me to talk about this whole land question that's going on. And you got folks leading you who don't understand a piece of dirt. They need to go sit down. And we got to tell our leaders, it's not... Being in office is not about a job. It's not to maintain your job. It's about to service the people. And no other, and you can't blame the person who allowed, who used that person. You blame the person who allowed himself to be used. You know, they shouldn't be hoes. Bottom line, if you ain't no hoe, you ain't mad. But if you are, too bad. Really interesting. I'm going to enjoy this. Another thing I read, and I'll talk about it later. This book I'm reading is really awesome. I'll talk about that later. But this, I just wanted to get this out because we had a tennis thing over on Calumet and a whole thing over there. But we had a business plan on State Street for black folks to work and to build businesses. We built 55th and Wentworth. It was the first thing that was built, ever built in Third Ward in years. We took a dump and turned it into a shopping center, and we made sure black folks owned half of it, did everything, and did all that. And it was $22 million in that TIF, just as they took me out. And that was the $22 million that was supposed to be used to build houses on Wells, Princeton, and Shields. And the current Alderman took that money and gave it to Daley. So don't play with me, Pat. If you want to come on my station, you can. On my show, we'll talk. But don't get on Matt's show and do no swipes when you know you're playing games with the people. And the LAC, Local Advisory Council, at Robert Taylor, y'all just as much of the blame as anybody that's doing it to you because you signed on to it and you bought into a dream and you bought into a lie. And too often, our people let folks come up on them, and because of their own jealousy or their own lack of understanding and that post-traumatic slavery syndrome, they let them talk them against people who are for their better interest. And I know some of them local advisory councils, A and B, signed on. I remember when one this girl called me, Maddie, told me, well, maybe we have some changes. And I tell him, I said, good, Maddie, I hope you enjoy the changes, Maddie McCoy. Hope you enjoy the changes. You have your changes, don't you? But in that stuff, Pat, come on, what's on 35th Street? She didn't build that. She said, oh, Matt, too. I did 35th Street and made sure that we put we had black architects, black this. And since I was out of office and brought all them business in there and set it up so blacks have a certain amount, he made a black folks bill, got a young man, built him up. Well, since I've been gone, guess who bought most of the houses on 35th and State Street? Blocks of houses. Chinese have bought up almost all of those houses. And you get on here trying to take some credit. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you haven't done nothing. Nothing but destroy. Destroy, destroy, destroy. And you're going to have to answer to God. You listen to Talk of Chicago 69 WVON, number 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We on blackplanet.com. We on Blog Talk if you want to listen to it. And guess what? We on iHeartRadio. And we know you're listening to us all over the country. I see you from Lansing. You from everywhere. You're waiting to talk to me, and I know you want to talk to me. But this is about the land, y'all. This is about economic development for black folks. How do we take it back, y'all? We can whine or we can fight. I'm tired of folks whining. And most folks on the radio and whine don't do nothing no way. They just whine. Whining is over and fighting is in. We're going to bring Dennis on about 10 minutes or 7. When I take a break, I'm going to come back and knock off a few calls, and then I'm going to get Dennis in. But I'm having a good time here this morning. Don't give a damn. Understand. Free. Love black folks. And it's time to move them folks out the way who don't. Get your coffee. Get your tea. And I'm not going to be gone but 1 minute, and you can come on back and talk to me. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Be right back.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile and that was.
But I'm told that in places like in the Arctic, where indigenous people sometimes might hunt a wolf, they'll take a double-edged blade and they'll put blood on the blade and they'll melt the ice and stick the handle in the ice so that only the blade is protruding, and that a wolf will smell the blood and wants to eat. And it'll come and lick the blade, trying to eat. And what happens is when the wolf licks the blade, of course, he cuts his tongue and he bleeds. And he thinks he's really having a good meal. He drinks and he licks. And of course, he's drinking his own blood and he kills himself. That's what the imperialists did to us with crack cocaine. You got these young brothers out there thinking that they're getting something that they're going to make a living with. They're getting something they can buy a car like the white people have cars. Why can't I have a car? They get something so they can get a piece of gold. The white people have gold. Why can't I have gold? They're getting something to get a house. The white people have a house. Why can't I have a house? And they actually think that it's something that's bringing resources to them, but they're killing themselves just like the wolf who's licking the blade, and they're slowly dying without knowing. That's what's happening to the community. You with me on that? That's exactly and precisely what happens to the community. And instead of blaming the hunter who put the damn handles and the blade in the ice for the wolf, that what happens is the wolf gets blamed for trying to live. That's what happens in our community. You don't blame the person, the victim, you blame the oppressor. Imperialism, white power is the enemy. Was the enemy when it first came to Africa, snatched up the first African, brought us here against our will, is the enemy today. That's the thing that we have to understand.
How can I manage to do all this at such a young age? So it's a mind thing. You have to have your mindset that, hey, if this is what you want to do, go for it. Find you some more support and do what you have to do.
Hopefully, I'll be able to study and be able to get my stuff done, but just not knowing what's going to happen in the future, that's what scares me. But I'm hoping that I'll be able to maintain my grades and stay in school.
Give your friends the boost they need to graduate. Go to boostup.org and send a message in your own words. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Mozart knows these are so very great. evils of the world.
Type in Coffee Tea or Jimmy Lee Underground. You can get me. And we can just have a good chat. And I see we're going to go to you because I'm going to try to empty the phone before I bring Dennis Sweet, Attorney Dennis Sweet from Mississippi. He's going to come on. We're talking about this land question. He was really, he was my attorney. And I don't know what I was on my end. But Dennis is a very well-known attorney who have fought for black people for a long time. We were talking about the land question. Ebony, come here. We were talking about the land question, I told him he needed to come on and talk about it. And I was talking about the CHA, that whole land mass, over there on CHA, and all across the city, really, Lathrop, they're doing the same thing in Lathrop. You know, it was interesting because I talked to the teachers. I met with the principals. I met with everybody at churches. I told them, churches, if CHA go, you ain't got no members. I met the daycare center, Brother Saconium over there at New Horizon and all of them. I said, daycare center, go, you ain't got no people. You know, if CHA go, I talked to doctors, I talked to those nurses who were servicing CHA. I talked to psychologists, talked to them brothers who were just laying flows. I met with all of the principals over there. I met with the lunchroom attendants. I met with everybody. I said, look, this is a whole community. And in fact of the matter, when they closed CHA, they wiped out a whole economic community. And some of your so-called activists in the community today helped lead the way to destroy public housing. And it was almost, if y'all Google, you'll know I'm not lying. It was almost out like I was hollering in the wilderness and crying in the wilderness and fighting. And the lie they put on is she just want to save CHA because that's her base. And it was not my base because when Gator ran, they voted for Gator. It was the fact that black children and black people were over there, and that's what I was doing. They just lie. She wants her base. She wants to stay on King Drive. And some of your same voices that you hear calling in right now talking like they so activists were some of the ones that have led it. And I just want to talk about this black stuff. Black folks, if we don't have the land and we don't demand our taxes to help develop our communities, then we're pissing in the wind. And then you got black leadership that's supposed to represent you. And what do? They close down your business. They won't give you a zone. They use power over black folks for zoning. Every club, anything you want, try. That's how they feel in power because they post-traumatic. They won't fight the white man, won't fight the white power structure, so they fight you. They in office, and they fight you. That's what Dennis, I don't talk about them. We got some whole bunch of folks out in Jackson, Mississippi right now stopping black folks from even getting stuff. You got folks right here. You hear me, miss? When Jim Lita went to get her zone, what did the girl just sit on it for no reason? And it ain't just a zone in there. It's any of them. They just a bunch of crooks. Just clubs, closes. We don't need this club here. But we'll keep this stove here open where kids standing around there drinking and doing drugs. We won't have a place where you can go hear your music or where you can just relax and unwind. Go to another community because we're trying to integrate here. I tell you. Freddie, how you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty sad, Dad. How you doing?
I'm fired up.
I'm going to try to refresh your memory on me and a friend of mine came back in your office about 10 years ago when CHA was going as to his demise.
Yeah.
Now, we was talking about the unions, you was at 47, and the Cadillac was parked outside. You said, y'all better come inside because they be watching me.
Uh-huh.
So we went inside, Doc, and you said, well, the unions ain't no good. They ain't helping nobody, blah, blah, blah. And I respect the fact that you said, form your own union.
I sure did.
Hey, Doc, we went back down. We marched on City Hall. And I'm going to refresh your memory. I'm the one that went with litigation to file the first suit against CHA when Renault said all of the black tradesmen were just celibate.
Yes.
Talk to me, Doc.
I remember that. And you know, when they came over there to shut down the CHA, you all worked with me. And I was telling some of these same so-called activists or some of the ones that even come and fight. They were leading the struggle to shut it down.
Even Obadiah tried to fight with us.
Oh, Obadiah, and so I wasn't going to say it, but I remember he went out and pitched the tent and Robert Taylor told him, get the CHA down because the rats are over here. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the Warren Farm they tried to get, and the Warren Farm, and they went against that. I remember Philip Jackson, they used him as a figurehead.
Yeah, Philip Jackson was the one that led the fight for the Colgers CHA. He was, and when they got through using him, they threw him away. They put him at the board and then threw him away. And then that Lou Palmer says enough to make a Negro turn black. Then he turned black.
Poor thing, Doc, because what they did, they knew he wasn't on top of it, so they brought Joseph Showdiner in.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be so intelligent. He had meetings every week at a different development saying that it costs so many millions of dollars to keep developments open, but yet still they'll spend $50 million on it. It costs less to keep CHA open than it did to build a warship.
Are you absolutely right? And see, the thing about it, one thing I want to say about Philip while I'm talking is that when we had the meetings, he would come. He came to the meetings, and he had all our meetings, and he would try to do what he could do. But they used him. They used him like a fat rat. And when they got through using, that's why he said enough to make a Negro turn black.
God, you never lied. They used him till they used him up.
And that's no disrespect for you, Philip, you listening. It's a fact. It's history.
Not, I'm going to make my comment short. They had more black tradesmen in CHA than anywhere. CHA was really a white tradesman's retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the black tradesmen in, and the blacks was doing great. Well, you know, the same brick that's downtown in down Trump's building, the same brick, the same mortar they used in CHA. The name of the game was deny and neglect.
It was not neglect. Now, you know, remember I said CHA is built better than those other buildings. It's deferred maintenance what they did. But it was
deferred maintenance.
And it was an all-out assault. You know, we tried to get everybody to join us, and they didn't listen to us. They lied. They lied on me, you, and everybody else. But look, Freddie, keep listening. Next week I'm going to continue the CHA question because I've got to bring Dennis on earlier. But I'm going to really get into the CHA thing next week. I'm going to do CHA, and I need you on with me, okay?
From Lake Hope all the way to Trumbull Park.
Hold on. Ebony, get his number. Thank you so much. Okay. Mark.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, Alderman. All right. I'm on my way to work over here at the railroad in the city.
Uh-huh.
Listen, you know what? Every day when I'm riding down the Van Ryan, I see all these people working on the L, you know, the construction over there. Where's the black contractor?
It ain't no black contractor. It ain't just, wait a minute, Mark. Let me ask you your question. And I'm talking to all black folks out there. Mr. Gardner went and sat, and they still putting white folks and everybody somewhere working. It's a game.
Right.
It's still a game. Look, not just the CHA. People are working across the city, and black folks not working. So when folks call on this station number, what are they going to do? Go on out there and shut some shit down, some stuff down.
Yeah. And Alderman, you know something else? Every time I go in different neighborhoods, I see construction going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Hispanic neighborhood, you got the Hispanics working. In the white neighborhood, you got the whites working. Why is it in the black neighborhood, you got the white and the Hispanics working?
Because
why are the black people want jobs? They don't want jobs or what?
A man can't ride your back if it's not bent. Straighten up our backs. Thank you so much. We got to straighten our backs up. We got to. Ms. Huntington, how you doing? Get Dennis on, Ebony. Ms. Huntington, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
I am so concerned that the $80 million of extra money that Barbara Bird Bennett had, she did not give any money to the Southside School.
Well, she gave some, but not as much as she gave to the Northside.
Not enough.
I'm saying what she gave was not as much as they gave to the Northside. Look, we on the tag, Miss Huntington, all over the place. The man can't ride your back if it's not bent.
The Northside School's got all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to really do something about that. And our kids, they need to cut down that shrubbery where those kids are going to school, because in that safe passage, some of that shrubbery is as tall as the kids that are going to go through it.
Thank you so much. But you know, the psychological thing is telling children they need a safe passage. You know, it's almost, and if you're listening, Rom, you know, during the Holocaust, they had folks going on the safe passageway and doing different things. It's a psychological thing that they put in people's minds, that you're not safe in your own community. But at the same time, you see a whole bunch of white kids running down with the shirts off, or folks walking. But you put in your mind that you're not safe in the black community. Yvette, how you doing? Yvette?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
I just wanted to say I was looking up Harriet Tubman this morning, and I said, that's who she is. She
oh, listen, that's
Dorothy Tubman.
Tell me the spirit. I take the sister's spirit.
I know, because that's what it's going to take, because I know you're talking. And I heard you last weekend, and I didn't get a chance to call, but I felt your pain
mm-hmm.
because I'm feeling the same pain.
Yeah, it's hurt. It's painful.
Over here on the west side. Same things happen on the south side that's happened nationally, and you're talking about this land. I stopped at a construction site,
mm-hmm.
and I said, what is this that you're building on Sacramento and Fulton? Because and they said that it was a charter school.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's why they closed down Morton, because I had just
closed Morton and then built a charter school.
Around the corner, and Morton was thriving and prosperous. So what they're doing is diabolical. That's
mm-hmm.
the name, and that's what we should be saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the safe passages, I see those signs,
mm-hmm.
I see dollars. I'm like, who?
And it's a disgrace, too, that our kids got to feel like they got to have a safe passage. That means you ain't got no community, as Dr. Anderson would say. Thank you. I'm going to try to get Dennis on for 2 minutes before we go to the break. And Yvette, call back next week. We're going to talk about CHA and schools. Those are two things we're going to talk about next week.
Okay, Dorothy.
Okay, thank you. But I'm going to talk about the land question today. Give me, you got Dennis on, Ebony? Is he on? Did Ebony get Dennis? Okay, she didn't get him. Okay. Zakiya?
Good morning, Alderman.
Good morning. Fired up.
All right. I'm fired up, too, because I'm fired up because we had some people in town last week to give us a solution for this constant right now violence in our community, and I'm hearing people say that it wasn't nothing. So I want to briefly just run this down to you, and those of you all that have organizations out there, please listen.
Well, today we're talking about the land and stuff, Zakiya. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the land question. So call
well,
me,
this
you know, take me.
Put that back on hold, Ebony.
Okay. Dennis, did I lose Dennis? I lost Dennis. I'm sorry, Zaki. I was trying to get Dennis. Did I lose Dennis? Which one? Okay, give me Dennis. Okay. I got 2 minutes. Give me Dennis. I got to go. I want to just tell him I'm coming back. Put him in. Lock him in. I'm trying to pull Dennis in. Dennis, you got to hold on for me. Courtney, you tell me I got to go? What you say? I can't see your minutes over there, Courtney. Courtney got 2 minutes. I got 2 minutes. Okay. I guess I'm not going to get Dennis. Okay.
Hi. How are you?
All right. You want to hold on?
Do you want me to hold on?
Can you do it in 30 seconds?
Yeah. I can hold on.
Because I'm going into Dennis Sweets when I come back. I'm coming back into the land. So you want to take
okay.
Your, okay. Go on.
All right. Well, I agree. The land, the South Side is the Mecca. If anybody that lives in Chicago, grew up in Chicago, and compared that with the North Side, that's all built up on each other. And the white folks are afraid to live over here with us, but they want this land. The South Side is the Mecca. We need to teach our kids. We should need to have classes every Saturday to teach our younger kids the history of this city and what the automatic roles are and what the civics and what their responsibility should be, because I see now they don't know.
They don't know.
And only for only for them to fight, they got to know the history, where it came from, and they got to know what they want to do.
Right.
What and they want to see.
You know,
Kay,
that's why I say. And on the other, when we come back on our 7 o'clock hour, I want you to listen to Attorney Dennis Sweet, one of the greatest attorneys this country has produced, even in terms of the history. We're going to be talking about Mississippi and others, but in the land and stuff. And that's what I love about Sweets and his family in terms of they've been down since Mega Evers, and they've still been trying to hold that land, that line. So keep listening. Cause
if we can have classes on Saturday night at the Washington
Harold Washington
facility.
Coaching Center. Well, call me back next week, but keep listening for Dennis. I want to talk to Dennis, but I don't think I have time. Okay, Dennis, okay. Look, y'all, I've been trying to get Dennis to bring him in, but I got to round up this so I can come back and talk to him. You listen to Talk of Chicago 69WVON, our number 773-591-1690. We are streaming live at www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on everything. The Blog Talk. Get your coffee, get your tea, because they tell me I got to round up. Come on back and talk to Dennis Sweet and me. Hold on, Dennis. Be right back.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WBON.
Show up. He gon' say he was so scared that he shot you up. been the next Steve Jobs. He could have been the next astronaut. So one day we get justice.
We won't stop.
Neighborhood Watch Show.
If you haven't seen with a hoodie on, watch out for the Neighborhood Watch Show.
Don't need the road we some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind. I've been to the mountaintop, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. It might time to get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. Dr. King didn't talk about no pie in the sky. Might not be no pie in the sky when you die. It could be a lie. He and his, I tell you every Saturday, is because he could not envision, as we open these doors up economically, politically, and education, that black folks are not due like everybody else, and reach back and pull folks. Just couldn't. They just could not believe that black folks would not do that. Kind of hard to believe. Really kind of hard to believe. I have you listen to Talk of Chicago, but I got to do this black moment, and I got to get Dennis on. It is 7 o'clock hour wherever you are in the country, around the world, whether you over in Brazil, my sisters and brothers, all over in Ghana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, from all over the country, all over the world, where you're listening on iHeartRadio and where you're listening in on the web. And it's time to take that deep breath. Are you ready, Courtney? Are you ready, Ebony? Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, 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 black. Don't it feel good? Y'all walking to me and said, Doris, I'm so glad you do that because I've been scared to say black. I have on the line with me Dennis Sweet, one of the greatest attorneys that this country has produced, all down in Mississippi, Alabama, and all over the place. I'm so proud of him. He's one of the ones that defended me with my aunt down there. But he's also, you know, he's the one that started the fight with the black farmers. He's been, we were talking about some of the cases that's going on. He got a case going on right now, the same thing as Zimmerman, where the brother was in a gated community where he lived, and he got shot in the back. But he's also around there dealing with the whole land question. So we're going to talk to Dennis about the land question. Man, son, I'll bring you over 30 seconds to tell him about Bobby, because I do need to go to Dennis. Okay. I'm only doing it. Hold on, Dennis. Man, son, that's not, hold on, put Rubber Brothers Who back on hold. 1, 2, 3. Man, son, is Man, son there, Ebony? Oh, he's gone. Okay, hang him up. He's gone. Okay. Hi, Dennis, how you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
I'm so glad to have you. Are you in Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, or Georgia? Where you at this morning?
I'm in Florida this morning. I'm down in Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah. Well, it was so,
yeah.
Well, I wish I was down there. Which, it's so good to talk to you. I've been talking to you, to my audience about you, audience listening all over the world right now. We have people from all over the world, all over the country. And we also have a huge chat room that's going on right now. We got quite a few folks chatting about. So whatever we're going to be talking about, they're going to be chatting. And we've been talking about the whole land question here, what's going on with black folks and land. When you look at the relationship between, in Chicago, all of your major land by the lake they're taking, all the inner city, everywhere, black folks give their land, they're running, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. And I told him we were talking about this whole land question, what's going on in Mississippi with the land. But first I want to just talk about you for a few minutes. Let's talk about you. Just give my audience just a little short view of some of the things you've been doing. I was telling them about the black farmers. Can we talk about that just for 30 seconds or a minute or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was, because I'm from a rural state and I watched what happened to the black farmers, there was an initial black farmer suit, and you can look at it. It was the people involved in the suit were the lead co-counsel was Al Powery and myself. And also by
that's Al Powery, Dennis Sweet. Wait, and Sweet. Okay, go on. I want to make sure they say yourself, Dennis Sweet, yeah. Uh-huh.
And we brought it to his knees. We got the settlement. And I left the suit after the settlement. It got to be what a lot of people now are asking about. You see these firms advertising for the cases and things. I didn't really get involved in that part of it. I got in it because if you look at the nature of what was going on with the black farmer, they were being run out of business and continuing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you get them run out of business, so does the black land ownership.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these farms, a lot of these people who farmed, the kids left and went for jobs. I'm not blaming the kids. You had that big migration, 6 million people. Well, a lot of them came off of farms and land that was owned.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were elderly and on fixed incomes, and they were trying to hold this land. The black farmers helped them hold the land.
Uh-huh.
They would lease it from them. They would farm it. They would keep the boundaries up. And so as the black farmer went away, so has black ownership of land in the rural area.
Mm-hmm.
And the farming land.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fallen out of our hands. It's fallen in the hands of large corporations and a lot of white farmers.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what you see in the demise of land ownership in those communities and in the demise of black farmers. And, you know, bulk of that land now is so valuable. It's huge.
Yes, it is.
It's been, they're saying it's one of the next bubbles. They had a lady from the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, not a stock exchange, but a hedge fund lady.
Uh-huh.
She brought a bunch of money down to Mississippi, and she's in the Delta buying land now.
Uh-huh. And you also told me the lady from Argentina.
Oh, it's not a lady. It's Argentina, period. They have farmers there. The Argentinians have come to Mississippi buying rural farmland. That land we ran from, that land we never wanted to see again.
Uh-huh.
And I can't blame some of us. But now the Argentinians have come in up in Mississippi, bought huge blocks of land, and paid farmers to farm it.
Sharecropping.
That land up there now is going, nothing to hear, $4,500 an acre. I mean, this is that land in the Delta people talking about.
Uh-huh. And the people who own it in the Delta say they're getting something by selling this land off.
They're not getting anything. Look, what are you hearing now? Go green, go green, go green, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, so the population in the world is getting bigger because we're living longer.
Mm-hmm.
We're having more kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of land is the same.
Uh-huh.
Areas that used to be really rural subdivisions. Yeah. So now you have this world population growing. Everything is go green. We got the same amount of land, and it's just getting valuable and valuable. That's just economics.
Other folks come buying this land, taking up all the land while black folks running from it.
They are buying it. They are just, I'm telling you. I have a place, Jefferson County, Mississippi. You know, that's where Charles Evans was the mayor of the town.
Right.
If you come down there now, Louisiana, man, these people from Louisiana are trying their best to buy it up.
Mm-hmm.
Timberland is just more valuable in that little county. And I guarantee you, there was a time when I was here, you could have bought that land for $100, $150 an acre.
Uh-huh.
The timber company now told me that rural land, any land in that county, with five-year-old pine timber on it, value is $2,400 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this. 100 acres of that land that you don't want now is worth $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 acres, $2.5 million, just the land.
Mm-hmm.
$2 million, you don't hear it. There's nothing here being sold like that.
Uh-huh. And that's going on in Alabama, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going on in Alabama. It's going on all southern states.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have a bunch of people now coming back to the Sun Belt to move.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're getting the industry down here. I'm telling you, and if people have listened out here, it's a great investment.
Mm-hmm. And you said black folks have put themselves. I know the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going all out throughout the South buying up land. And I hope he's listening. I'm going to talk to you about that later because the minister is doing a lot of stuff with land, and I'm going to talk to the minister, Dennis, and somehow or another, some of us, we're going to hook up you men. But he's going. I know he's doing some in Tuskegee and other places.
Let me say this. I'm going to make this point to your audience real quick, though, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. This is your stage. Okay. Go on.
Okay. Every 25-year study is showing that if you buy land and market value, land and timber, this is just an example. It's not farming. Just land and timber.
Mm-hmm.
Every 25-year study is showing that it does 13% a year. You say, okay. I put my money in the stock market, and I did 15% a year. Here's the deal. You got to pay taxes on that money you made 15% on the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose, you can't deduct it as ordinary income.
Uh-huh.
You don't recognize any gain on that land until you sell the timber or sell the land.
That's right.
Here's another thing you can do. So you can sell that land 10 years. It's going up an average of 13%. You don't pay any taxes on it.
And you can write it off, too, on your taxes that you've lost.
You write it off on your taxes. But when you cut the timber,
mm-hmm.
say you cut timber
mm-hmm.
after 10 years, you could offset it against your basis until your basis is zero. So if you pay $250,000 for land, you can cut $250,000 worth of timber, set it off against your basis, and pay no taxes
mm-hmm.
until you sell the land.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get your basis down, what they're doing is a 1031 exchange. So they sell the land, they make it a profit, and they flip it in a new land.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And it's that issue, if any of your callers have any of this land they've inherited down here in these southern states,
mm-hmm.
in this farmland, in this timberland, get some financial advice before you just say, "Ooh, let me get rid of it. We're not going at it no more."
You know what's so interesting?
Hey, brother, you remember?
Go on.
You remember back in the day
uh-huh.
when the folks were first moving, they called home and said, "When y'all gonna cut the timber?"
Uh-huh.
It's been providing money. It's been providing money for years.
Right.
For people who left.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to let it go.
No.
We don't need to let it go. You know how many people you heard say that, Doug, up there?
Oh, you know, yeah,
I'll
you know.
I'll call home.
Got to call home and get the money from the land timber being cut. But, you know, Jimmy, the children's father, Jimmy Timmer, who came from Sand Flat, they were the Phillips, the Young, the Abners, and the Tillmans. I remember when Uncle Buddy went back down there to give up this land to the oil. Tell me they found oil on the sand flat. They thought they was really doing something. And they sold that land for the next generation for oil.
Yep.
You know, so we got a whole group down in the Delta that got oil, too, on it. We got all that whole area around Merida all back in there. That's a lot of oil stuff back there, isn't it?
And here's another thing. You know, you need to get, Dorothy, you need to line up you a number of oil and gas lawyers. A lot of people who have this land, they find oil and they find gas, and these people are not experiencing oil and gas or law. And so they're walking in here negotiating these deals with these oil companies or gas companies. And they're taking what you give them. You, how many times have you heard, yeah, they found some gas on my plate. They sent me a letter, I'm going to get a check. Well, what's the basis?
It happened in my children's father's family with Uncle Buddy and all of them. The generation before them, they did that, you know.
This land is valuable. It's provided for us through the years. I hate to see it get out of our hands. I've been buying.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a total of about 2,400 acres. I'm going to try to buy some more.
But you know, Dennis, I want people to know who you are and how much you give back. You know, you'll call me and say, Dorothy, I got this case. I got to help this boy who they shot because he was stealing some baloney. He's just stealing baloney,
yeah.
And they're going to put him in jail. The boy hungry. I mean, the case that you do. Now, you was also telling me about the young man who was like Zimmerman, who they just shot in the back down a few weeks ago.
His mom and them, I talked to it. And, you know, I like to get some national attention. Sometimes I have a trouble because I get so busy.
Yeah.
But the hood housing down here, you understand these people making a ton of money off these hood houses.
Mm-hmm.
So they build these complexes. They build these hood complexes. They get tax credits, and then they get a definite check by the month.
Mm-hmm.
They don't put the money back in their complexes. And so pretty soon, you know, they're not monitoring those things. They're
right.
Making a ton of money off of them, and they sold the tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my guy moved in here. He was living with his mom and his sister. And this complex, they hired some security guards, and they were supposed to be protecting the residents, but they were like prison guards on the residents.
Mm-hmm.
And they would call them all kind of names, niggas and baboons and all kind of stuff. And the name of the company was Holoport Security.
Mm-hmm.
And my guy really took offense to him, and he kind of stood up and talked back to him. And they would have automatic weapons on the premises. Now, they were supposed to be guarding the residents.
Right.
But these guys were harassing the residents. They got stories where they pulled guns on. But one day this guy took offense to him. He had his hands up. He walked toward a security guard, white security guard, and he told him, he said, quit walking to me. He said, what, you going to shoot me? And he said, yeah. And he shot him.
Yeah. That was just a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. Well, a couple of few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I represent the mom, and we filed suit against them, and they are now prosecuting the DA there. He's going forward with it. You know, the uncle and the mom were really looking for it as a hate crime because they said the guy had used the word nigger toward the audience in the past, but
mm-hmm.
he didn't prosecute it as a hate crime, which I can understand. He's saying the time, the conviction, he'll get the same amount of time, so he wants to.
Well, you know one thing they don't want.
Especially after Zimmerman.
White folks don't want black folks to be talking about no hate right now. They want to keep race off the table. You know that.
Well, yeah, but this guy, they want to see this guy go to prison for life. This DA is really after him.
Okay.
I got to say, he's vigorously after him.
Well, you know, we're going to bring you back on to one point to really talk about that whole, the criminal stuff. Because we didn't really talk about
it,
but we're going to talk about that and some other stuff. I'm going to jump back to the legend and let folks know that, and I was telling them I'm going to have your mother on about her book. And what you all don't know about, I got to have your mama about this book. But, see, Dennis, you and I was talking about, they just got through celebrating Mega Everett's anniversary. And we talked about when people celebrate or talk about what happened in those communities, they don't talk about all the trauma. They had a whole community was traumatized. I mean, it wasn't just...
Right.
Go on.
Well, you understand now that but what we went through back then, and I was 2 doors from Mega Everett's, and my mom and dad were friends of his.
Mm-hmm.
And in the celebration, my mom did go and speak at the various places. But I think that we don't recognize that it was terrorism when it was going on. And what those communities and neighborhoods went through, they took Megan's life.
Yeah.
They terrorized everybody else.
Right.
And people went through trauma. You know, we're learning now about all this post-traumatic stuff. What went on in the community as a whole? And sometimes we don't concentrate enough on what happened and looked at those whole communities and what has happened with the young kids and the families who were traumatized also, while they stalked those communities, stalked people like they stalked him in that community and shot him down in that community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was the effects of that on all the people? Sometimes we don't look at that, I don't think.
Because it was terrorism. Yeah.
That's what it was. It was terrorism. The lynching, there were messages to the – it wasn't just – I mean, that person – tremendously suffered, but they lynched and castrated to send messages to young men.
Right.
And it was meant to traumatize that community.
Right.
Not just that individual. They were sending messages. And I think sometimes we don't look at that, how it affected the whole community.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And you know, when you think about the traumatization of our community in terms of what they did, it's a continuation of it now. To kill Trayvon. That's traumatizing the community. And then to
the young man
that you got holding your hand up that they shot, that's traumatizing. Or the young man who was just hungry and went and stole a piece of bologna to eat and was shot.
That's right.
You know, all of this stuff up. Them coming out to come snatch a bunch of land up from people. That's traumatization. All this stuff is going on. And we do. That's why when you said the other day to me about when we talk about these people, like Megger, Dr. King, Malcolm, anybody, we got to talk about them not in isolation, but in a whole context of what was going on with our people as a whole and how it affected us. And that stayed with me, huh?
Well, you know, no one, the next door to Mr. Evers was the Wells, and next door to him were the Chases. On the other side was the Lipscombs. I can name the families.
Right.
I bet nobody else knew a name of a family.
Right, and no, you're right.
They had children and... They had children in those houses around there when they shot Mr. Evers. And, you know, sometimes you got to look, what happened to those kids? What happened to those families?
You was one of those kids. You was one of them, right? You was one of those kids.
Our whole community was. I mean, he was up walking around. He was Mr. Evers to us. And it did. It traumatized that community.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. Mm-hmm. A member of that community, a vital member, a vital person who we respected, who we loved in that community, who was, you know, without knew our parents, was just a human being, was just murdered,
mm-hmm.
and in his driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Even that, what it does to that community, how it did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me talk to Reverend Weatherspoon. I have you a question. Got a question for you, Reverend Weatherspoon. Are you there, Reverend Weatherspoon? Put him back on hold. Okay. Manson, we talking about, I know you want to talk about Bobby, mention Bobby Wright real quick, but I got Dennis on. I just brought you on to mention about what's going on with Bobby Wright.
Well, first of all, Hotep to you, Dorothy,
Hotep
and Hotep to,
you.
To Attorney Dennis. Really great. Appreciate y'all's work, and this is a great question, the land question, for sure. We also have a heart and mind question, and y'all talking about trauma and how that terrorism by the white folks
mm-hmm.
traumatized us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we're paying tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright today and his legacy because he exposed our being victims of menticide.
Yeah, Bobby Wright, hold on. Attorney Sweet, Bobby Wright was one of our great black psychologists that we think they killed, who really was working with the minds of young black boys and young black folks in this city. And he really talked about menticide and what he was doing. That's why I thought it was very apropos to bring him in on this.
Yes, and I appreciate that, Dorothy. Dr. Wright also talked about the psychopathic racial personality that white folks apparently have. And so I want to say hats off to Brother Olumenji for, putting this symposium together.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be today, Dorothy, and
okay.
we urge your listeners to come out to 9 South Kedzie. That's Kedzie in Madison. It's a building, the Bobby Wright Mental Health Center, on the second floor in room 208. It's free. We're going to deal with the life, thought, and contributions of Dr. Bobby Wright. It's from 10 o'clock a.m. this morning to 3 p.m. We're going to have several panels. And trust me, y'all out there, you need to come on over here so we can deal with menticide and all of that, because there's a definite psychological dimension to solutions.
And, you know, people like Bobby, who was trying to come up with solutions, they take him out. They took Bobby out. Nowhere in the world Bobby went out like that. You can't tell me they didn't take Bobby out. He was too strong.
We also think, Dorothy, that it's some hanky-panky by the wrongdoers and Dr. Amos Wilson's death. We have good reason to believe there's some covert stuff going on, you know, yeah. even though folks do die from different things.
Oh, no, Bobby Wright wasn't a cat. Manson, yeah. thank you. I want to get back. I just wanted to bring
okay,
you in on that.
You doing that.
Because
Dennis, come on out today.
But, you know, Manson, attorney Dennis Sweet is one of those attorneys you might not see in the headlines. He
right.
Tree and all of them are friends, but Dennis is one of those brothers who went to school, and he stayed down in Mississippi in that southern town around there. And all around in the South, and have worked on behalf of black people. He don't have to be there, but he's working. I mean, he's
yeah.
an example of what Dr. King meant when he said, "Reach back and pull back."
And I just say to Attorney Sweet, thank you for committing class suicide and identifying with our people and channeling those skills to our people's benefit. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Dennis. You know, you with Dr. King said, I might not get there with you. But we as a people will get to the promised land. And I told him I knew Dr. King in his naiveness. And Dr. King never assumed that when we opened those doors up that black folks would just run and scatter. And those people who get in office, that they would not work on behalf of black people. We know that you work for all
yeah.
folks. But, you know, we were talking about, you look at Jackson.
Yeah.
What you said, we got a black mayor. What all we got down there?
We got a black mayor. Majority black city council.
Uh huh.
Majority black board of supervisors.
Right.
The police chief black.
Mm-hmm.
Fire chief black.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of you know, the city now yeah. is, you know, run majority black.
And they scared to work on behalf of black people. And
you know, we just got Chokwe in. We just got Chokwe Lumumba in. And we're gonna see. I mean,
you think he gonna make a stand and do something?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's what he ran on. We had the same mayor. Let me see. He was in for 8. He lost, and then he was reelected. So over 16 years, he was the mayor for 12.
Mm-hmm.
And the city, he was in demise. So Brother Chokwe Lumumba stood up and said he wanted to try and make something happen.
Yeah, because that's no reason why not. What happened, Dennis, is not just in Mississippi, but all over, in Chicago, wherever you go. Black folks get in office, and they don't understand that their role is to advance the black agenda. That don't mean that you want to help nobody else, but you're not supposed to hold black folks down to show the white master, look what I'm doing.
Here's what a lot of them fail to see. And it was in that speech that Mangar Evans, Dr. King gave.
Uh-huh.
He said, I may not get there with you.
Mm-hmm.
He recognized that his role was to hold the door open.
Right.
As others go through.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I might not get ready to come to that door.
Mm-hmm.
And our black politicians got to realize that when they elect you, it ain't about you.
Right.
You don't become important, and you're not going to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your expectations, don't run for office.
Mm-hmm.
What your job is going to be is you're supposed to hold the door open.
Right.
And let people come through. Whether they get economics or whatever they get, they just get it. You
mm-hmm.
you come in and say, I'm going to make a difference as a politician. Well, as you can hold the door open for a minority to get contracts.
Right.
You can hold the door open for people to come through with better schools. You can hold the door open for a lot of things. But as a politician, that is your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you run for office, you don't give these speeches saying, hey, it's about me. Y'all going to make me an important Negro. Y'all going to make me have access to money. I'm going to have a limousine and an entourage.
Right.
That's not what you go out here and you campaign, and you campaign and saying to people, I'm going to make a difference. Well, God, by dog, keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
When you run for office, keep your word. It's not about you. You can hold the door open for other people to come through and make things better for the community.
Right.
And there's so many of them who think it's about them.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we were talking about Maynard Jackson when he went in office.
Oh, yeah.
All the things that he did
yeah.
for black people. He even came up and helped Harold. He came up and helped Harold. They all came up and sermons and all of them. They helped. It was cohesiveness,
you know,
by building black economics.
If Harry Washington is in Chicago, a man in Chicago, you wouldn't have some of the issues y'all got now.
Uh-huh.
The man was selfless. He knew it was about the community. He knew it was about bringing people up. So did Maynard Jackson. Look at it now. They built those places up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's what people got to take an example of. When you get in, you got to go and build it up. You know, the city of Jackson, I'm praying for Brother Chokwe. He got the right heart. Let's hope he gets the right support. And I think, you know, his goal is, we're going to build this community up.
Right.
But we can't take these communities and just make it about us and watch the people who in the community who are voting for you and putting you off or suffer.
Right.
And we not do things about it.
Well, you know.
And you can't. And get rid of these huge egos.
Yeah.
Throw them out the door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you. You really ain't. You just. you convince people that you can help them and you have some ideas and they believe you and they put you in office.
Mm-hmm.
Now keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say.
Well, you know, when Harold was in, keep your word. When Harold was in, he went up against HUD and he said, you're not going to take over these public houses. I don't care about HUD and mud and slud.
Right.
We're going to rebuild these houses and poor people are going to have a place to live. And he fought for the right for black folks to stay in public housing in the city. When he died, these folks took all that massive land and just took black folks massively off them, and they have no place to stay. But one of the things, Dennis, is that we're not just experiencing that in Mississippi. It's in Chicago. It's everywhere. There's no reason.
Yep.
Jackson got to be a model city because we don't want Jackson going the way of Gary and Detroit. Those are some major cities that black folks are in, and they can build economically. I mean, there's no reason. When I go to Detroit, I saw how they allowed Detroit to go down. But when you're coming from downtown Detroit and you're heading toward the neighborhood, they just commission a $400 million something to be built downtown. Was Detroit broke? Are the resources just not going where they should go?
You know, when I looked at even in my mother's book, if you look at the time that we had the Ferris Streets and the black community, we built all these communities. Even with racism, we built them with movie theaters and restaurants and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So we have built those communities before.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Part of legalized desegregation. I don't really call it immigration. It was legalized desegregation.
Uh-huh.
Because the white people didn't come to our business. They didn't come to our community. We just were allowed to go to theirs.
Right. Now, let me repeat that. Dennis said what it was legalized desegregation. So white folks can come to our community. We just got permission to go spend our money in their community. That's deep.
That's right.
That's some deep stuff, Dennis. That's real deep.
Well, it's legalized desegregation. It wasn't immigration. You didn't see influx of money from the white community coming to the black community.
Right.
You saw our dollars go to their community. And they recognized dollars. Look at these dollars coming in here. Now that we want that, then we got to have these Negroes. Let's get their money.
Let's get their money.
Let's get their best athletes. Mm-hmm. Let's get their best athletes. Let's get everything now. Let's get the gold, like South Africa. They're going to mine all that gold. Huh?
Mine it all. So we to get you a president and take all the resources.
Yep.
Well, you know, Dennis, one of the things, though, is I'm trying to explain to black folks after I've been in government, because I brought a lot of resources when I was in office, is that blacks will often say, well, we just need to put our money together. We don't need – no, yes, you do. You need your tax dollars back reinvested in your community. You can't say, well, I don't need that. I can do it on my own. These other folks who are building in our community, that's what Maynard Jackson and all of them did. They brought the resources so that if a dentist group came together and you decide you want to do something, you got tax credit. You just got to talk about the tax credit.
You get tax credit. You got all this infrastructure money. You got tax credit. Look, you just got to get out here and learn. And I understand, look, Dory, I understand how a lot of times African-American people say, look, I just ain't messing with the government. I can do this on my own. I don't need the money. I saw that with a lot of black farmers. They tried to farm without the government, and it hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put yourself in that position. Here's what you got to do. There's money out there in the farming community. There's money out there in tax credit. There's money. Educate yourself. Get somebody in who knows how to do this stuff and talk about it and educate it.
So you're saying we need a land conference or something then, huh?
Huh?
Need some kind of land conference to look how to go get this stuff.
You need to have that. You need to have it, and you need to make the government send somebody to explain some of their programs they got.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that they got all kind of programs when you buy this land now. They got what they call wildlife programs.
Right, right. Yeah,
that's
a wildlife program.
I know guys who went in it. They bought some of this land that was once. It was wetlands.
Uh-huh.
And some of the farmers turned it over, and the government wants to put it back in wetlands.
Uh-huh.
So if you buy it, they can pay up to it depends on how your land appraises, but it's up to $1,700 an acre they can give you for the land.
Mm-hmm.
They go in and replant it.
Mm-hmm.
Replant the trees. They put duck holes on it for your hunting, and you can lease it. Then they give you the land back, and it's yours.
Uh-huh. But now most of the foreign and white folks use that. Black folks don't use it because they don't know. They too busy saying, we don't need the government. We just put our own resources together. No, those are your taxes.
Wait a minute. They had to change the rules because the insurance companies were coming out and buying the land doing it.
Shut your mouth.
Big, large blocks of land, the insurance companies,
uh-huh.
and buying the land doing it. It was such a huge, good investment. And these are lands that we had at one time that we sold or that were sold for taxes or taken.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, they have land in counties now where they're paying you to plant trees. They come in and plant the trees and pay you so much an acre
mm-hmm.
for your trees when you plant it.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. Mm-hmm. I know a guy, I had some at one point, I had to be, it was some issues on income, I got out of the program, but it was making like $39,000 to $40,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
They planted the trees, put the trees in, paid for the planting, and then paid, I bought the land, it was in the program, but they were paying that white farmer at that time, he was making $40,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
On 400 acres. And it was just, and it was while he sat there and planted, and watched the trees go.
Now
he
you
didn't do nothing.
Not, and then they also
I bought the land from him.
And then they also had what they did. They come to do fish farming, right?
They do what?
They got fish farming down there too, right?
Oh yeah, they're doing the fish farming. They're doing this boutique farming, like you're saying that you had some black farmers up there and you're having that market.
Right.
Walmart, other stores down here, to buy land, are doing contracts with people where they go in and raise certain amounts of vegetables on the land and then sell it in.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know. And like you're saying, everything is going back to nature. Everything is go green. You get all these whole grocery stores. What you know? Where they growing this stuff?
And so the people from the country from Argentina who's coming up here buying up all of this land, like on 35th Street in Chicago, the Chinese bought up from 35th all the way back a bunch of houses and apartments.
Yeah.
People, they're buying because they understand they're buying in blocks, and they got our poor folks over there with their $50 saying, "I can do this by myself." That's not true.
No, you can't do.
And you have a right. See, if we can get black folks understanding, and they're a group that know, them the ones that play the game, be playing, but you have a right to the taxes that you put in to take back. They're giving to people that don't even live in this country. They finna help these people from Argentina come over and do farming,
hey,
and sharecropping.
They need to, they're paying people who used to farm the farm for them.
Sharecropping.
They buy the land. They supplying the farmer, they're farming, and then they're getting the crop and selling and making a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying to you is, though, at some point, though, we do need to look at those, and we need to look at every phase where we have been either taken from, traumatized, whatever, and land ownership is one of those phases. And
mm-hmm.
somebody at some point, they should have a seminar,
mm-hmm.
educated on the programs that are available, education on land-based, on studies that are done,
mm-hmm.
on history of land. What's happening with the black farmer and land ownership? I mean, somebody needs to do something like that so that we can educate people, so that we can get back into the ownership of land.
I got
to. Especially in rural areas.
Yeah. Well, see, then that's why I'm going to really come down there and spend a few days. I got to really talk to you because, see, this is real. One thing I do know, for those who don't know, and I'm going to come to the phone, y'all. I'm just enjoying. Dennis, we don't get Dennis that often. I talk to y'all every week, but I got to talk to Dennis. Right. One thing I do know about you, and most folks don't know that, they talk about the suit with the farmers, but I know it was Dennis Sweet who started the Black Farmers lawsuit, who took his plane and flew someone some, and did all the other stuff, and then you brought Rose Sanders and the rest of them in. You are those
yes.
You're like one of those unsung heroes who love black folks, who also have a mother who raised you with a consciousness, who grew up next to Mega Evers, who understand what Dr. King is talking about, and one of those people who have taken what you have to do and doing what you're supposed to do. And we commend you for that. You have to understand, see, y'all don't hear about the Dennis Sweet. Y'all just hear about the other stuff. But the Sweets of the world, and these, and maybe I'm a Southerner, but the Sweets of the world, any revolution will get started, going to be started down south. And if the land question is going to be held, it's going to have to be held down south. It's just like that. And Jackson, when you look at Jackson, Jackson have got to make sure it don't become Gary in Detroit, Dennis. I'm so worried about that. You understand what I'm saying?
Dorothy, me too. We have it's the capital of the most racist history, one of the states that has one of the most racist histories in the world, and it's a city with a really racist history, and now we have control of it, and we need to do something positive with it.
That's right.
Have a symbol that will failure like that. We need to bring that city back.
Yeah, okay. Let me
and it's not failure, but that's
yes, it is. It's nothing but failure. It's black folks who took. We died and fought for the right to vote to put folks in office, and they thought we was fighting for their right to sit up and smoke a big cigar.
What makes
me angry about this is that they blame the victims. The victim is being victimized, they get blamed. But at the same time, it's those little people who got out there and marched and was willing to die believing a change was going to come. And what you have is, oh, yeah, I'm going to change. No, go sit. They be worse than anybody else. But no, we have got to do something about that. Reverend Weatherspoon, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Alden Tillman.
Oh, hey, Maceo, how you doing?
I'm finding you, and good morning to your guest, Attorney Sweets, that is?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
Alderman Tillman, I agree with everything you said in terms of this land grab. The Stateway Gardens, Robert Taylor, Ida B. Wells, Rockwell Gardens, Cabrini Greens.
Mm-hmm.
They say there was a mystery.
The Lathrop home?
Oh, yeah. They say there was a mystery that 200,000 blacks just all of a sudden vanished. They didn't vanish. They vanished because of those, the demolition of those CHA apartments.
And I blame black leadership in this city for allowing that to happen. They sit on their butts and were scared to talk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was
absolutely.
Out there talking about myself. You know, Macy, I was fought that battle to the end.
Absolutely. But the thing is, and it's happening all over, but the thing is the people that are coming back into those areas are white people, gentrification. But not only is it a land grab for them, but if you look at the political significance of it, you diminish the black population, you increase the white population, you diminish the black vote, and you increase the white vote. So that means that they can put in anybody they want to if they are allowed to do this, but
right.
We should not allow them to do this. And mm-hmm. In closing, happy birthday, Melody Span Cooper.
Yeah, her birthday is Sunday.
Yes,
but, Maceo, before you go, let me just say that in our community, you see a lot of white foreigners. They're buying buildings, and they're coming over. They're about six flat, and all of them live in it. So you see another transplant of other folks. They might have Argentinas down in Mississippi. They got a lot of folks here too, Dennis. They got a lot of other folks. Thanks,
and happy birthday to the great Louis Armstrong too.
Thank you. I tell you, that's really, huh? Reverend Weatherspoon.
And you see a lot of black people when you go to land.
Hold on, Dennis. Reverend Weatherspoon.
God bless you, daughter.
God bless you too.
Yeah, what we need to do is try to tell the millionaire. Invest in buy more land, the one that got the money to buy more land, become more formal. I don't know if the athlete, the one that got the money to buy more land, and curiously to buy more land, buy the land down south.
Well, we got to put a framework, because you're absolutely right. Thank you, Reverend Weatherspoon. You got anybody down there with any land, Reverend Weatherspoon? You got any family members down there?
My father has some land in Alabama, but He didn't go check on the wheel. He had some land down in Alabama. But he didn't check on the wheel.
So what happens in a case
that? Brother Smith, hey, Doug, can I say something?
Uh-huh.
That's the story a lot about land ownership in the South.
Yes.
We left and we didn't go back. They went in, they bought it on taxes, or they took it on air property, all kinds of stuff. After we had a large in our community, owned a lot of land in the South, in the Sun Belt. And a lot of what you're talking about happened with it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back and check on it.
Thank you, Reverend Weatherspoon. Thank you, Reverend Weatherspoon. Thank you so much. Yeah, but I didn't take a lot of calls this morning because you educating this morning. I wanted you to teach.
That's what I wanted to tell you. Our land was lost in the South. You can go back. Yeah, but you know, and when they called and said, you know, we cut the timber, they said, we didn't cut it off. We didn't check on the land no more.
Didn't check on it. Got up
one
here.
One thing you didn't realize.
Got up here, living in these cold water flats, can't pay the gas. The water coming in, can't breathe, can't do nothing, trying to pretend you're important.
Let me tell you something. One thing people didn't realize about that timber down there, you know what it was?
What?
It grow back.
It grow back.
It all. And still
grow. Wait, repeat that.
And make some more
repeat
money.
That. Say it grow back. It's not like the cement up here.
Yeah, it grow back. When you cut it to make money off of it, and you leave it, and you walk away, it grow back.
It grow back.
When you up there sleeping, they're sitting up there. And how many people do it? You know, to call home, they cut the timber. Or so-and-so on the farm. You used to go home and come back with coolers of groceries and fresh fish and all that.
Yeah,
you know
fish
that?
And ham and greens and come canning and all that. Hold on, Robert want to talk to you. I'm just going to try to take a few calls because I have not. Robert, how you doing?
Good morning, Dorothy. How you doing this morning?
I'm fine, Robert.
And to your guests.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was listening to you all, and I'm glad this subject came up because this is a very important subject. Not only are the land that they're taking, but they're buying up all the land that has water rights on it. I've been doing some studying for the last several years, and I noticed that they're buying up as much land that has water on it because sooner or later there will be water wars. We notice that the water is going up more and more and more and more.
Y'all explain to the audience about this water right y'all talking about, don't you?
I'm hoping that you do, Dorothy.
No, you want to say, Dennis, you know about the water rights, or should he talk about it?
I don't know about it, but
tell us.
Yeah, do some studying on it because I'm finding out
that
They're trying to get as much land that has water on it. They're trying to take up as much as possible. J.P. Morgan is buying it. All the corporations and rich institutions are buying up as much as possible. And I was just telling an associate of mine a couple of days ago, they're looking at Park Manor. They're looking at Chatham.
Oh, yeah, but I've been telling you. Look, Chatham, wait, Robert. Chatham, Bronzeville, the lakefront now, the lakefront where all these black folks, South Lake, where they're moving black folks out. But you also got where you have in Inglewood. The problem is, I've been trying to tell black folks, they was by all the transportation, all the parks, all the rail stations. So the reason you see over there, like in the Third Ward, they finna go from Root to 55th from the rail line on over, and they got some other places, and you got Roseland, because you got those rail yards where they're going to be bringing in stuff. So blacks are strategically placed in the inner cities, too. They're being moved out of the inner city. At the same time, they're down southbound of all land. They're going to be moving this stuff around, and we just somewhere with our hand held out again.
Well, you know what? One thing I want to say, and I'm going to let you go, and you all are perfectly on point. When Hitler took over, he did things subtly. He did things smoothly. He did things so quietly, and before you know it, there was really nothing that people could do but to follow the path.
Thank you.
You all take care now.
Thank you. But when you got people like Attorney Dennis Sweet, I love you, Dennis. Huh?
Well, I want to say this, Doctor. I had not thought that the last caller, I mean, that was just, I'm off to go research this and look at this. I hadn't even looked at it, but it makes so much sense. Because, you know, when we start talking about business, they bottled in water. God made that now. He made the water. They bottled it and selling it through. It was so funny at first when they started selling us water.
I laughed at it. I should have bought stock in it.
I swear, man. And now it's nothing. Everybody goes, oh, make sure you get you some bottled water. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I have to look at that. I hadn't thought of it. And you have to have people like on your show to tell you stuff like that because you can see it in this grocery store staring that issue in your face.
Right.
And you don't think about it.
Right.
Know, until you get somebody to tell you. Yeah, that was. I have to read that. That was a very interesting point, mate.
Well, look, Dennis. I want to talk about this whole land question. You talk about the water because I got about 8 minutes left, and I want to make sure. I want to make sure that people be clear on what's going on here. Now, is that someone on line 12 that want me? Who is that? They calling on this other line, so let me. Oh, they just okay. I thought they wanted it. Okay, but I want to be clear and go back on this. On this land question here. So what are you saying to these people all over this country that's listening right now? They really listen all over the world about this land in Mississippi.
Okay, in the Mississippi, and you made the point, though, in the southeast and some of those states, Alabama, other things, where you got all the farming, timber growth, land selling, hunting rights, go back, look at your history, evaluate it. If your family hadn't lost it, make sure you secure a way to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at as a family buying adjoining land. You can't have a better investment, and you can't set your kids up better by leaving them something. You'll leave them something they can enjoy. You'll leave them something to generate them income and has value. You can leave them something that they can borrow against, and it's a huge asset if they have a portfolio. So you've got to go back and look at these things. We all know older people or other families that may have stayed in the South.
Right.
And they may be in trouble with the land. Then get in. If you have to make a purchase of it,
mm-hmm.
if those people say, look, I want – look, I had an older guy. Can I tell you this story?
Yeah.
I had an older guy come to my house down in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And a gentleman walked in my door and said, I have 3 months to live. I have cancer. I think it was pancreatic cancer or
mm-hmm.
it was colon.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my wife has never worked. I'm trying to secure her.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I have 40 acres, and it was over in the predominant white area. He said, I cannot go to my grave having sold it to those people who've given me hell all these years.
Mm-hmm.
I see you have 2 kids, and I want you to have it.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it for $2,000 an acre to him.
Mm-hmm.
He died 3 months later. He took the money, paid his wife's house off, and did other things.
You see?
My kids now walk up. Well, I still own that land. I've had a bunch of offers to buy it. I just can't bring myself to sell it.
Well, what I am going to do, we're going to talk about this land. To me, the most important thing right now is land, the education and the land. Those are very two important things. Education for our people is so important in order for them to survive. But education and land
look,
question, because the land is economics. Education and land is two of the most important thing it is.
Do you know everything? Just every time you see a sign that say "Go Green," think
mm-hmm.
about that land your folks had down the south. What are they saying? Go green.
Go green.
We're doing away with plastic. Let's go back to the wood. Let's go back to the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Let's support wood and all that.
So you think we should try to have some kind of summit or southern summit? We got to do something. I'm going to be talking to you next week, Dennis. I keep education and land. We got to do something because there's an assault. Now you saying?
I think we need to have something. You need to have somebody explain to people some of the federal programs that are going on. We've all heard about all those farmers down there that get paid not to farm. Well, how does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
What program was it in?
Mm-hmm.
How do you qualify?
Mm-hmm.
You got the land bank. Well, they fund people to buy land
uh-huh.
at low interest rates. Well, what is that about? I mean, what is it really available? Like you're saying, those tax dollars at work. Okay,
mm-hmm.
teach our community how to make them work for us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do some of that. I mean, that's what the Black Farmers case was really about.
But when they entered the case, they gave discrimination to everybody. The white women, the Hispanics, everybody but black, everybody got a piece of it. But they had nothing to do with the discrimination. You wasn't in that part of the suit because you had kind of pulled out at this point.
I was in a tree and we sell it and I saw it coming as a big money grab. I mean, it wasn't what I really envisioned, but
mm-hmm.
really trying to correct say the Black farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got lawyers involved in it and you tell them, I helped sell it. They can't even tell you what the case was about.
No, they can't. You can't tell
them. Discrimination.
No, and
they can't tell you.
And gave all it to the white women, Hispanics, and to all the minorities, and it was black folks who were discriminated against. Dennis, I have got to have you back. I have really enjoyed you. We've had such a great time. Now, once again, you said Argentinians are buying up a bunch of land down south. Who else is buying the land? The hedge funds?
The hedge funds, all kinds of people.
Uh-huh.
They're putting the portfolios out. They're putting it in now as this big investment.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming in. I mean, my wife went to New York to an investment council, and they were talking about raw land.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have it. And they were asking her, who told you about this is a black woman up here, this investment thing. And they were like, well, who told you? You done such a fine job with this raw land. And she's like, well, my husband grew up down there. He just holds on to what his family has.
They don't mess with your wife, one of the great communicators. Tell her she's one of the greatest. Like, hey, she knows she's a tough cookie. She's as tough as a husband.
hey, Doug, it's something that people need to know about. And when you go today, just check. You might even call back down and say, hey, what happened to the land we had?
Yeah.
You know,
well, we're going to have you back on. I'm going to have you back on next month. I'm going to have your mom on this month because I want to talk about that book she wrote.
Okay.
You hold on, Dennis. Put Dennis on hold. I have enjoyed Dennis this morning. We're not through. It's a lot of stuff that's going on. I want to take the attorney suite was my attorney with my aunt. He gave his time to give to me when I had that whole stuff with my aunt. I have enjoyed that. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago 1690 WVON. We here every Saturday morning, coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. We've been with Attorney Dennis Sweet from Mississippi, one of the greatest attorneys. You can Google him. He understands how to give back. He's a great brother. I love him. He's going to have his mother on screen. See you next Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman telling you reparations now.